Welcome to Miracles of God with Pastors Joel and Annalisa Jones. Got to serve somebody, might as well serve the Lord. Apostle Paul said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." In today's message, Pastor Joel continues the series, Blessed to be Dressed.
We need to know that God has made a way for us to repel the enemy's attacks. And how many of you truly know and believe in Philippians 4:13? Huh? That I can do all things. Through who? Through Christ. Who does what? Huh? Then he said, I can do some things. I can do a few things. All things. See, I'm not making this stuff up. It's right here in the Word. How many of you know what it says in Romans 8:31? Huh? If God be for us, who? Who? The owl said, who? Who? Who can be against us? Okay. So, we have to understand that God has made a way, but we have to be able to use the weaponry, the defenses, the equipment that God gives us. We're talking about the armor of God, what shields you, what protects you, what keeps you. And that's what we're talking about. And I'm just laying this out today. I'm just laying out some things. We're going to really get into this and see how each component of equipment works. Okay, we want to know that. So getting back to Ephesians 6, but just to give you a wider circle of reasoning and confirmation concerning what I just said about God providing everything we need to withstand the onslaught of the enemies, I'm going to ask Pastor to take us to 2 Corinthians 10 and take us to verses 3 to 5, Pastor, if you would, 2 Corinthians.
2 Corinthians chapter 10 verses 3 and 5 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Mm-hmm. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, mm-hmm. casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ."
All right. Thank you, Pastor. Okay, here again, we love that scripture. That's a good scripture, isn't it? It's good. It's right, right? Uh-huh. Paul is saying, although we walk in the flesh, when it comes to spiritual warfare, we have at our disposal, you know, God's mighty weapons, which enable us to stand against the schemes of the devil. That's basically what he's saying, all right? This text confirms that through the power of God, we as his people will be able to pull down strongholds, destroy them, do away with them, to defend against strongholds, pulling them down, okay? Like some old curtains, all dusty that you don't want anymore. Pull them down. Take them down, okay? Pulling down strongholds, the devil will try to use to keep you bound and to keep you blind and to keep you captive. Take the sheet off. Change the covers. Pull it down. That's what the Lord is saying. Pull down strongholds. Well, just so you can understand how this applies in spiritual warfare, for example, say you have an addiction. And you've had it most of your life, maybe, okay? No matter what you find, no matter what you do, you find yourself being weak to that addiction. Whether it's drugs, alcohol, sweets, or some sweet thing. Either way, you fill in the blanks. Okay? Whatever the addiction, the text says, the way to defend against it is through accessing the armor of God. That's the way. I don't care what it is, you know. Some of y'all are probably real creative. I don't know what you might like. But it's saying that God has made this available to you. The armor of God is available to you. That's the important thing, okay? He's given us plenty to work with. And by the way, in spiritual warfare, just as in physical warfare, armor, I don't know if you know this, but armor or equipment designed to protect you can also be used to wound the adversary. Did you know that? Huh? Did you know that? Some people know that. Some people that have been in police work and police officers and deputies, I know some of the people in here know, and the military people, a good shield will not only protect you, but that shield is, it'll protect you against projectiles coming at you and spit and everything else, right? Just put the shield up. And you get too close, though, it's good to knock somebody off their feet, too, right? That's the shield. That's the shield. It can knock an attacker off his feet. And let me tell you, the shield of faith can do even more. The shield of faith is more versatile than any physical shield you could ever have. It can knock some demons down, okay? I'm telling you. The shield of faith can do some stuff, okay? And that's your protection, but you can also use it. Sometimes the best defense is the good offense. You can use that defensive equipment for a good offense to get cut through the enemy lines and put an enemy down with what God has given you. He says, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, right? We have to understand this. Now, so we'll get back to that. We'll get to that more in depth later. What I want to stress to you today is that we need to take inventory of what God has given us. We want to take inventory. We want to see just what God is giving us, what's at our disposal. Then we want to learn how to use it. Huh? Learn how to use it. One point that is made in 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5, 3-5 is that we as believers must realize that we ought to take every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. That means we've got to learn to do this every time. Not sometimes. The time you don't is when the enemy comes at you. The time you put it down is the time he sneaks in. Huh? Somewhere in the church, people in the church put it down and Satan got in. He sure did. Churches compromising all over the place. I wonder how that got started. Somebody put down their defense. Somebody believed the lie that we just need to be all inclusive. Somebody believed a lie that love means accepting anything. Somebody believed a lie, huh? And they changed it all around. The devil got in and he changed it all around. Now to be a Christ follower, they say you're a hater when you show them more love than the devil ever showed them. You see what I mean? You see how that works? That's why we need to know, brothers and sisters, we need to know what this means in this word. This is no joke. This is serious business. God has put it right there for us. It's very important that we realize that we're to take every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and we've got to do it all the time. We got to be consistent. We got to be so consistent that it becomes second nature, automatic. Huh? Like getting your coffee in the morning. Anybody here drink coffee? Anybody get up and get their coffee first thing? Okay. I don't, but people do. I go get my water, though. I get it sometime at 3 in the morning, especially when I can't get in the room. Took all the pillows. She took all the pillows and everything, had them on the other side of the bed. No, my shoulders hurt. I can't lay flat. She took all the pillows. I had to go another room. But yeah, it's got to be second nature that we do it all the time. Take it into captivity before responding. Eh? Before responding. Eh? Take hold of our thoughts. Y'all getting two lessons today at the same time. It's called OJT, on-the-job training. And we send those thoughts through a spiritual checkpoint, right? Remember I said that? I mentioned that a while back, that we should envision our thoughts being placed on a conveyor belt, similar to at an airport where you get in there and you're getting ready to take a plane and the TSA people tell you to take off, take your laptops, put them in the little pan, put your shoes in the pan, take off your belt, so forth, so they can screen them before you're allowed to board the plane. Therefore, when the enemy whispers in your ear and he tells you something like, drop by your buddy's house on the way home, but you're married and your buddy is single, and you already know your buddy is a womanizer, right? And your buddy wants you to go clubbing with him. So now you're on your way home. Your buddy said, come on, man, just drop on by for a few minutes. You got to take that thought into captivity. He's not married. You are. He's looking for women. You not. Why go with him, right? Somebody's trying to get you in trouble, okay? Okay. So then you got to realize, is he your friend after all? You see? So you got to think about things like that. And you got to take that thought immediately, take it captive, and place it on that spiritual conveyor belt. You got to see it going by and x-ray it and see what's in it. See if it's the right thing to do, okay? And that's a no-brainer anyway, right? That's a silly example. It's a simple example, but it happens all the time, and it happens in other circumstances. So I'm saying whatever your predilections are that's going to be contrary to the Word of God, take that thought into captivity. Don't, like the Lord tells us, don't ever dance with the devil. Don't dance with him. Don't dance to his tune, because he's going to play some music spiritually that you might like, and then he's going to get you. So just toss that thought out. As soon as he tries to find a home in your senses, you got to put it on the conveyor belt. Send that foolish thought on and take your foolish self home. That's basically what it means. Drop that thought, all right? You've got to know a way out of temptation. You know, what I'm trying to say in this text of Scripture is simple and straightforward. It's true. Make the effort to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. If we do that, then if we make that effort to take every thought captive, we'll go a long way in helping us to resist the devil's influences, as long as we examine our thoughts in light of God's commands and instructions. Now, there's another way that God enables his people to succeed in spiritual warfare, and that's through overcoming temptation. Through overcoming temptation. Let's look at this one. Pastor, take us to 1 Corinthians 10:13, please.
1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. Mm-hmm. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, mm-hmm. but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it.
All right. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. All right, this is another example of the meaning of the term blessed to be dressed in the armor of God. Can you see that? Do you see it? When you're dressed in God's armor, you receive things like strength and endurance and wisdom. God gives you those things, all of which serve to provide a way out when you're faced with temptation. When you're faced with temptation, you've been dressed in the armor of God. You're faced with temptation, but you know what? The armor gives you wisdom. It gives you endurance. It gives you strength to persevere, all right? It's like a runner. You've trained in it. You've studied it. It's like someone who's a weightlifter. You've handled the heavier poundages and the heavier weights till finally they're not, that what was heavy for you at first is not heavy anymore, right? You've progressed to a certain point. And that's how this is. It takes training to understand how to use the armor of God. And then when you're hit with a temptation, you're used to being tempted. And you're used to taking a beat. We talked about that today. I think I quoted Isaiah 40, 28 to 31, and it said that those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, huh? They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. You'll get stronger if you wait on the Lord, huh? Those who wait on the Lord, those who put their hearts and minds on the Lord and the word of God and the armor of God are going to get stronger in whatever they do. He's not going to forsake you. He's not going to leave you. You're going to get stronger. He's going to build you up in the word. You're going to get stronger. He's going to hit you. He's going to allow the devil to come and hit you with a temptation, huh? To see how you handle it, huh? He's going to test you. He's going to see. And then when you do well with that, he's going to let something else come on you because now you're still training. You're still running. You're still lifting. You're still facing adversity. You're learning to be, learning to endure. You're learning to walk through some things with the power of the Holy Ghost in you. You're starting to walk through some things because now you know that you're not alone. Even if everybody leaves you, you know that you're not by yourself. Even if everybody leaves the church, you know you're not alone. If you don't have a dime, you have Jesus. You know you're not alone. If you don't have a house, but you're living in a cardboard box with Jesus, and you don't worry about it. That's the armor of God. Yeah, I'm on the street. Yeah, I'm living in a box. But I'm in California. Not 45 below. And if it is, I believe that the Lord will make a way to keep me warm. Huh? Beyond anything else, I'm with Jesus. So you got to put out your house. You ain't got to pay rent no more. That's one way to look at it. I'm in scuffling, paying rent, coming up with first and last. They didn't put me out, but I'm still got a job. I still got a job. Find me a piece of car and buy it. Live in my car, I ain't got to pay no rent. Lord, what do you say? Get me to the next level. Get me. See, whatever the case may be, if you got Jesus, he's going to take care of you. See, it's how you look at it. It's how you look at it. The arm, wearing the armor shows you. Put on the whole armor of God. And you learn to see things differently. You learn to say that, you know what? Even if I die today, I got 30 years of life. 50, 60, 70 years of life when there are babies too that's been taken. What in the heck am I going to complain about? Yeah. Come on now. I got Jesus. I got the author and the finisher of my faith with me, in you. Amen? That's what this word is saying. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. And God will make a way of escape. That you are able to bear it. That's what he's saying in his word. No temptation. There's no temptation is what he's saying that can't be overcome if it should come our way. Fact is, we have an all-knowing supernatural God. That's what we have. An all-knowing supernatural God who has known long before the foundation of the world that we as human beings would be thrust into spiritual warfare. And confronted with a myriad of temptations. God knows about your temptations. God knows about your deepest concerns. He knows about your deepest, darkest secrets. He knows everything about you and me. Everything, okay? Guess what? And he's fashioned a way for us to beat every temptation. You believe that? It's absolutely true. But if you don't know it, you can't show it. Huh? You got to know that God affords these things to you. The devil doesn't want us to know it. He wants us cowering and weak and floating by every wind of doctrine, as it says in the book of Ephesians. Huh? He wants us cowering, not knowing what to do, and believing we can't make it, and scared of death and everything else. That's what he wants. You need to be aware and in touch with what it means to be blessed, to be dressed, and putting on the armor of God. Oh, that's a blessing. It's blessed to be able to step into some good equipment. Oh, man, it's so good. When I played football and first time I had a scholarship and I went to Boise, Idaho, and you had to make the team. And I was a kid then. I was about 18 years old and had this four-year scholarship. And everybody got a helmet except me and this other guy because we had really big heads. And, you know, that was bothering me because you got a team of like 50 guys and everybody's on the field with equipment, with helmets on, except us two. And he was a big guy. I mean, he was a wonderful player as well, but he was Samoan and he was big. He was over 300 pounds. So he should have had a big head, the way I look at it. Because he was big man, real big, you know. He outweighed me by 60 pounds, and my head big as his. So I'm sitting there with no helmet on back then. And what happened was, so we went through the drills, and they said, well, go through the practice. We'll have the helmet. We have to special order your helmet. We'll have it ready in about a week. But they've got you in a position where you got to practice anyway. They said, but when they come out, just don't hit them. Don't use your head, whatever you do. And I was so intent and so intense back then of playing linebacker that when I dropped back and the receiver caught the pass, there I go, before I could realize I didn't have on a helmet, hit him in the helmet with my hard head. Call security. We got a heckler. But anyway, I learned to really appreciate some good equipment. Okay, and that was fine. You know, that was fine. But you learn as you go. So I really understand about having the armor of God, the equipment that God gives us to protect us and to use in weaponry. See, God has made the analogies very clear for me, so I understand these things. And so it's important that we be in touch with what God has given us. And Jesus himself left us with a poignant example of what it means to face temptation in Matthew 4, didn't he? Right? Where the devil catches Jesus as he walked in the flesh of man. Right? He caught Jesus when he's just like you and I. Right? He had laid down his deity, his royal robe, and he came in the flesh of man, and he fasted for 40 nights and how many days? 40 days. He was led into the wilderness for what reason? To be tempted, to be tried. And that old devil jumped at the chance, didn't he? Can you see the devil jumping, saying, let me at him, Lord. Let me at him, right? Jumped at him. Jumped at the chance to take down Jesus, who was weak and hungry after having fasted for at least 40 days.
Like Jesus, you will be tempted. But Scripture says, no temptation has overtaken you, except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. This is Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones, sponsored by Spirit of Truth Church Worldwide in Fairfield, California. Today's message, along with previous broadcasts, are available on demand at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. To connect with us, like and follow us on Facebook. And if Pastor Joel's messages are blessing you, let us know. Feel free to submit your comments, testimonies, and prayer requests on our contact page at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. Are you in need of prayer or encouragement? Please call us at 707-759-5244. Our prayer warriors are here to pray for you. Miracles of God is a listener-supported program, and we're so thankful for your support. If you haven't had the opportunity to sow a monetary seed and have the means to do so, will you prayerfully consider doing so today? All financial donations are tax deductible and accepted on our secure website where giving is easy. Simply click on the donate button on our website to give today. We appreciate your faithful support and pray the Lord continues to strengthen you as you follow Him. Join us Sundays for live worship services on Facebook or Periscope at 1 p.m. and Wednesday evenings at 7 for prayer and Bible study at 8 p.m. as we walk through the Bible together. Sunday services are also available on YouTube and at SpiritOfTruthChurchWorldwide.com. And don't forget to tune into Miracles of God next week for the continuation of Blessed to be Dressed with Pastor Joel Jones. Until next time. God is so-